Hey everyone, welcome back to the Impact Michigan podcast, presented by Intermittent. Intermittent is a grassroots volunteer-operated organization that was founded in 2016. Our mission is to unite the Midwest tech community, thoughtfully nurture its development, and highlight it as a hub of and destination for entrepreneurial talent and innovation. On this episode of the Impact Michigan podcast, we chat with Hunter Rosenblum of Lunar Wireless. He was born and raised in New York, but after multiple hackathons and an internship in Detroit, he fell in love. Since his move to the city, he hasn't looked back and has brought, recruited, and showed multiple budding entrepreneurs, innovators, and change makers to the city for them to experience the beauty that is Detroit. All right, with that, let's get into the episode. Let's do that again. Welcome, Hunter.
Good to be here.
Cool. So I always like to start my interviews off just by allowing the listeners to get a taste and context for who the guest is. So for the listeners, who is Hunter Rosenblum? Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Rosenblum.
So Hunter Rosenblum is originally from New York. So I originally was from New York. I grew up there, sort of fell in love with Detroit, came here 4 years ago and haven't left. So really love being here. I started my wireless company, Lunar Wireless. We make affordable pay-as-you-go smartphone service. We're just like Verizon, AT&T, whatever else, but there's no monthly bills. What's really cool about it is that basically when you really get down to it, it's sort of like a phone plan where it's akin to like a cable bill where instead of like paying for all of the channels, you can only pay for the channels you want and you end up saving money. And so we basically built our plan around that. We let you pay per app that you want and only enable data for the apps that you want. And people end up spending an average of $15 or less a month and saving over $600 a year. And so I've built this company here over the past 4 years with my team. It's been like an amazing ride and continuing to build here. And I know I'll be here for a long time.
So. Yeah. For sure. What's so why did you originally move to Detroit? Why did you start Lunar in Detroit?
Yeah. So, you know, back in the day, I'd originally come here for a hackathon. So yeah. I'd come for MHacks and I'd built a product here and it was in the hip hop space. It would like identify a song and then it would say like what the samples are of the song.
Oh.
So it was really fun. It had gone viral. And at the bottom, I had written like built with love in Detroit.
Yeah.
And Detroit Venture Partners took notice and I was able to get a job there and I had a really great experience in the Madison and then sort of turned my eyes to the rest of Detroit and said like, wow, this is a really big city, you know, very big outside of downtown. There are many more neighborhoods than just, you know, the downtown 7.2, Midtown, Core Town, et cetera. And so really got exposed to all of that and then ended up coming back for Techstars, staying here afterwards, and just really ingraining myself in the city. I think that like the really enticing part for me was just like the people.
Yeah.
It felt like a really like people focused city. And it was really cool to see like this like big city, small town feel, that you don't really get everywhere else.
Mm.
So that answers
yeah,
the question.
Yeah, no, for sure. So like, because I know when you started Lunar, were you still in New York at that time or were you at Georgia Tech? That was
yeah, so when we were first starting it out, I was actually at Georgia Tech and then back in New York for a little bit. And then while I was in New York, you know, I was sort of buying time until coming here. And when I came back, it was really nice to just like be back here and settle. Like Detroit's a really special place. I think people don't realize that it represents like most of the country. Like,
yeah.
You know, New York and SF are not everything, you know, as someone who's like a fourth generation New Yorker, like I'm sick of it. I'm over it. And like, there's so much more than the coast. And this is just an amazing place to be in Detroit. Just the story is like incredible. And
totally.
Obviously with all the stuff that's happened this week, regarding the train station and all of that, I think that there's an overwhelmingly optimistic view that the people have here that like you don't get everywhere else. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So kind of going back to the past of like when you were younger, were you always just like into tech and programming and going hackathons and stuff like that? Was that just natural for you? Did you kind of have like this moment where you were like, this is actually really cool?
Yeah, I think I mean, I was always a dweeb. Like, There's no doubt about it. And I say that word with pride, right? Like, I always was tinkering with things and playing with things and was always into tech, but into other things too. I think for me, I don't see it as like tech, as more specifically as like entrepreneurs love what they do. They don't love entrepreneurship, right? Or you don't love tech. Like, you love what it is that you love. And specifically, like, I love phones. And like, as a kid, I grew up like modifying phones, hacking around. My bar mitzvah was phone themed. I mean, I think that like puts into perspective a lot of like how I grew up. It's just like my parents let me do all the weird stuff that I loved, and I was an only child where I just sat around and did it by myself and like had fun with it. And then, you know, eventually as I got older, I spent more and more time on it. In high school, like, I wasn't paying attention in class. I was just like building ROMs, which are like versions of Android with my friends. Like, I think for me, it was just like, that's what I loved. I love phones. And like, the greatest entrepreneurs don't love like entrepreneurship or tech or like making money or like, you know, like, that isn't like the value. The value is like loving something, like a topic, like a thing that is so specific. That like specificity and like that focus is like what a real entrepreneur is. Everything else is things that you can learn. Like, you can learn how to pitch. Yeah. Like, you can learn how to raise money. Like, you can learn to be a technologist. And like, you can learn all of that stuff. But at the end of the day, like, if you really love something, that like passion can't be learned. And that's like the most valuable part of it all, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs would definitely like empathize with that. You know, it's something so like ingrained in them, and like, they feel it viscerally, like, just deep down. And it's like, I see this happening and I want to do something, and that's that. And then like, everything else comes afterwards.
Yeah, of course. And one of the things that I really loved about being here in Detroit was I found this network of people doing that. And like, they are way outside of this downtown world. I mean, these are people that like built businesses because they loved what they do. And like, it's really amazing to see that they've built it with no help. Like, you know, like, just really no help other than the people around them. And it's funny, like, when you see these types of businesses, they're companies that you wouldn't hear about, you know, in the world of in downtown or any of like, you know, Eastern Market, Cortona, like Midtown, or even Ann Arbor, like, you know, these like tech scenes, right? Yeah. And it's like, we kind of know these circles. Like, we know like the circle of Detroit Venture Partners portfolio companies, right? Or we know like the circle of Ann Arbor Spark or Bamboo, or, you know, like people that have been like associated with these like brands, right? Tech stars, you know. But at the end of the day, like, there's all these entrepreneurs in Detroit that have built like insane businesses that like, I see the potential of scale way beyond what anyone like else is really looking at from the outside. Because from the outside, like, maybe they don't talk about it the same way, right? Like, they didn't necessarily learn how to pitch or even spend time or waste time pitching almost, you can think of it as. That's like what really, really drives me. And like, it's funny, like, I've sort of kept myself outside of that core world and of like downtown in order to be in that other world of just people that are passionate. And like, downtown, it's definitely there, right? But it's just a different, like, it's just a totally different scene. Like, when someone has to do it and make it for themselves and there is no like help and no resources, what comes out of it is like, could withstand like the test of time.
Yeah, so. For sure. And so, with that being said, like, as the future of Detroit is going, and, you know, we're definitely, I think, going in an up to the right direction, like, as we grow as a city, as a community, as an ecosystem, like, how do we, like, I don't know if it's even needed to cover them, but it'd be really cool to, you know, put content around them. Like, how do we, like, make this, like, inclusive of everybody?
Yeah, I think what it comes down to is, like, I guess specifically the content question, you know, just bring them in, right?
Yeah,
right. But, you know, around, like, the broader thing of, like, being inclusive, I think it's a literal mindset change. Like, it's not about, like, how someone pitches or how they present themselves or, oh, this person's a boss. They've done X, Y, Z, this, like, it's, like, literally, like, peering under the hood and saying like, okay, this person doesn't talk the same as me. This person like thinks a little bit differently about the problem. Why do they think that way about it? Like these are companies that started not with like, oh, what if I had $1 million, right? Yeah. It's like, I have like 2,000, like how do I get started? How do I bootstrap this, right? And that person is thinking like way differently. And I think like the best way you can support someone like that is like really just listen and hear what they've had to say and learn, and then like just like absorb it all, like see where the value is and then try to help. Like I think the biggest help that will come will not be in like the form of like per se like investment or coverage. I think it's going to come in like a melding of the minds, like bringing that like local talent in Detroit and letting them get exposed to some of the transplants that are here, and like let everybody just share ideas. And that can be like in a room, you know, in an event, but it can also be like one-on-one, right? Like, you know, I spend a lot of my time just sitting down like one-on-one with like local founders and saying, okay, you're working on this thing. You've built this to like 200-300K in revenue. This is crazy. Like now imagine, like think big, like think bigger than you ever have. Like what if like you could do X, Y, Z? If you want to do something crazy, like you say, I want to hire, Big Sean to run my music label. Like think that big. It's okay. Yeah. Like you can dream that big. Like for a while, Detroit was very resilient. And now we've switched to this like overwhelmingly optimistic mindset. And it's about like on both sides, like one, listening to all the people who've been hustling and try to understand like how they've built what they built and what value they've like derived and like where it sits, and like just putting aside all the cultural, you know, BS and saying like, okay, maybe I don't understand this market, but they figured out something that I have no idea about. Time to learn, you know? And then on the other side, also encouraging that founder to think bigger, and like allowing them to think much bigger than just, okay, I have this business that's doing X, Y, Z, that's supplying me with capital. Like, you know, saying, all right, well, if it did A, B, C, like what would be the 1, 2, 3? Like how big could it really be? If that's what the founder wants.
Yeah, totally. Like, yeah, because, I mean, entrepreneurship isn't just, like, building an app. It isn't just creating a tech startup. It's an entire, like, mindset. It's a lifestyle. And, like, if a founder is totally fine with, like, not scaling it to the scale of, like, an Uber, or even like let's say a Duo, a StockX, whatever.
That's totally okay. Yeah. That is like totally okay.
It doesn't disqualify them as an entrepreneur.
No, and like some people have built like really incredible enterprises on some like something called like the enterprise model. Like look at what Dan Gilbert did. He didn't build like a single multi-billion dollar entity. He built like a suite of companies where everybody was each other's first customer. And you know, the way Dan did it was super smart, right? Like he went into an area where no one believed, right? Even Detroiters didn't believe in downtown, and like, you know, sort of came in and said, what if we could like make this bustling? You know, and that it was like a very high level vision. And he created a, you know, a bunch of companies, invested in a bunch of companies that have all done business with each other. And I've sort of looked at that thesis and I said, wow, that's smart. But like, what about like, instead of bringing people to, what about also like taking people from and lifting, you know, them up, and people from around the area and people that just support, and like the mesh between those two entities is really, really important. So like the enterprise model for an entrepreneur, like I think is just really smart. Like people who still like don't want to build it to a billion, like that's totally fine. Like Quicken Loans is a cash cow, not a sellable company. And it funds the very interesting things that Dan has been able to build. Like there are so many ways to build companies, and they don't have to just be tech, apps, huge businesses. You're right. Like it's the enticing part.
Today's partner highlight is none other than Ann Arbor Spark. Ann Arbor Spark is a nonprofit organization, and they're advancing the region by encouraging and supporting business acceleration, attraction, and retention. The organization identifies and meets the needs of businesses at every stage, from startups to large organizations. To achieve its mission, Ann Arbor Spark collaborates with business, academic, government, and community investor partners. For more information, visit www.annarborusa.org. All right, with that, let's get back to the episode.
I remember, like sometimes when I drive here with my parents now. So we immigrated here from the Philippines when I was 3. right? And we lived in Youth Center for a little bit because my mom works at Henry Ford. She's a nurse. Mm-hmm. And now we live in the suburbs. But every time we come here, my parents are, both of them are just like, you know, this wasn't here when we lived here. And like, I can't remember. I was young. I was three to five, right?
Yeah.
And so I remember nothing.
Youth Center's gone through a lot.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we recently just visited the apartment we used to live in. And like, my mom would walk like 40 minutes to Henry Ford for work every morning. And like, it was such like a, I don't want to say humble beginnings, but it was just like the grind of an immigrant family, mm-hmm. just like living in a place that, you know, at the time the auto crisis hasn't happened yet. So it was just this place that was like, it wasn't as in the gutter as it was like during the bankruptcy years.
Yeah.
But you know, it was definitely, there's definitely a lot of growth there, at least from what my parents have been telling me.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, you know, two thoughts on that. One, like, it's amazing that all this stuff is getting built, but I have this like underlying thesis that like there's a lot of real estate development here, of course, mm-hmm. right? And it's interesting because it's very low cost for someone who has a lot of capital. And you mm-hmm. know, someone from New York who's used to buying a building for $100 million can bring, you know, $20 million here and build a neighborhood with 180, 200 homes. Like, yeah. the capital difference is huge. But that's not the most important part. Like, where are the jobs coming from?
Right.
Why are people going to move to that neighborhood? What is the community that's already there? Like, you know, people come and they say, okay, this wasn't here, but like, there was something there. There was a community there. And I think a lot of the times, like, real estate developers will come in and build, and you'll see it not get filled. Like, look at the East Side. Like, look at Orleans Landing. Mm. There was like an entire neighborhood built on the water. And all of the commercial like space is still up for lease, and like a ton of the townhomes still are. And you might ask yourself why. It's because like it isn't just about like this wasn't here, now there is something.
Yeah,
I think it's really about everybody coming together in the city and trying to build something bigger for the sake of Detroit.
Yeah.
So there, you know, my underlying thesis is that like there needs to be more companies here. There needs to be people creating more jobs of all spectrum, anything from hourly wage to, you know, on the higher end. It really is hard to find a lot of like work here. And especially for that like middle to upper income. I think that Dan really figured that out with Quicken. You know, he said, I don't care if you have a college degree, like we will teach you yeah. and we will make something for you. And I think that was awesome. And there's to be more companies like that, though, because there can't just be one major employer. You know, there's the two, you know, the autos, you know, and the family of companies. And so I think that I've personally taken it upon myself to say, you know, but, you know, before I leave this planet, like, you know, and I'll be here in Detroit forever. You know, how many jobs can I create? Like, how many opportunities can I create here? And how can I build something at the scale it needs to be? Because an Amazon is not just going to show up.
Yeah, exactly.
They just aren't. Right. And like, just because there's a new building down the block doesn't mean that, you know, someone is going to move into it.
Right. Yeah. So. They actually have to have a reason to move into it, right?
Yes, a very real one. And it also comes down to one-on-one interactions, man. Like, I've had over 50 friends now come visit me in Detroit over the past 4 years. And like, it's because I organize these little things where I'm like, hey, like, let's bring like three or four friends out for the weekend and just like show them Detroit and like show them a good time and show them where I work and show them where my friends work and introduce them to my friends and like run them around and try to get them to visit. And actually today I'm picking up my friend Steven, who's now coming for his fifth time. Like,
wow.
You know, it's like really crazy. He's flying in from San Francisco just to spend the weekend here.
That's awesome.
And like, yes, we're close, but it's not just about me.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's about the special place here. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, he brings an extra bag when he comes to Detroit, and it's filled with like his creative stuff because he feels creative here.
Yeah.
And like, that's amazing. Like, that's what it's about. You know, it's like that one-on-one, like bringing people here for a reason beyond just like a nice new building down the block. So.
Yeah. Man, I love that. And especially because like, I'm starting to meet a lot of people from all different places, you know, and I mean, that's even inspired me to like, okay, what can I do to bring friends here? You know, like friends in SF, Seattle, LA, New York, and even like across the world in the UK. I was actually a few weeks ago, I forget how long ago it was, but a few weeks ago, a friend from the UK visited, and I was like, dude, let me show you around. And like, so we walked around. I showed him. I mean, I haven't been here as long as you, like in the city and like downtown, midtown, and everywhere else, like the neighborhoods and stuff. But like, I still showed him and he was like, this is really cool. And so I was like, oh man, there's something here.
It's like, it's cool and it's amazing. I think it's also important to like educate people the right way when they come.
Yeah.
Right? Do not, like, have you ever heard the term, like the sentence is like, say nice things about Detroit.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, don't, you know, say to your friends like, oh, like, yeah, and it fell to nothing and it's still trying to come back and it's grit and it's grime.
Right,
like,
right.
I hate that word grimy or it's hustle or it's like, ugh, you know, like that's not like what it's about. When you bring those friends, it's also of your responsibility to try to like really show them the breadth of it. And on like you as a person in Detroit to like try to get out into the neighborhoods and into everything. And like I said, like I spend a lot of time bringing people here. I spend a lot of time with people here, helping them grow. Like, how do I bring that together? And like, that's a really important thing. And I think it's more important than just a social mission, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think, it's not a social mission of here's a person from here, here's a person from outside, you know, you two meet. I think it's like creating a culture. It's creating a market too. Like, it's creating people that are like spending on each other's things, growing with each other, spending time together. Like, that's what a city is, like unifying that. And we've seen it happen over the past few years in Detroit as things like violence have gone down in the neighborhood or in the neighborhoods. It's really a result of like the ongoing work of everybody within it and just that one-on-one interaction. So like, you know, spending time, making sure that you educate those people the right way who come to visit and they don't just go, oh, you know, let's go look at the ruins, like that ruin porn crap.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my God.
Yeah. Don't like, you know, it's important to not like feed into that and instead like focus on like showing them the real like depth under the city.
So. Yeah, for sure. I think the biggest thing is like a lot of people, and actually I think, yes, in one of the keynotes at Startup Week yesterday, Marcus Lemonis from CNBC's The Prophet, he was talking and he had said like, I hate the phrase like Detroit's on a comeback because Detroit's never left.
Never left. Yes, right. Exactly. Like, you know, don't treat it like it's come from ruin and it's rising. Like, yes, bad things happened here, but again, we're overwhelmingly optimistic, not resilient.
So. Yeah, exactly. And so before we wrap up here, where can people find more information on you, keep up to date with everything that you're doing, et cetera?
Yeah, I'd say follow me on Instagram probably. You know, I like to put a lot of my company stuff. I also put a lot of personal stuff there. And I spend a lot of time trying to really show the neighborhoods off. And so if you take a look at my stories, I'll post a lot of content around things that are happening outside of downtown as well as things that are happening in downtown.
Yeah.
And really just try to expose everyone to the culture. So it's at Hunting Wabbits, which is silly, but HUNTINGWABITS. Yes, it's a Looney Tunes reference. But
what's up, Doc?
Oh my God, Hermark, damn, I have to spell this out. I hope everyone gets the joke. I feel like there's a generation of people that just like won't get that joke in a few years.
Oh,
like Gen Z, you know.
Yeah.
But for now it's still funny.
Yeah, for sure. And so last question here, you know, you're doing a lot of great work bringing people in. Your work with Lunar is so great. Like, what is the impact that you want to have, not only on the city, not only on the region, but in general?
I think it's a tough question because I'm really focused on the city, right? Like I'm like dead set, you know, and I'm laser focused right now. But I guess thinking broadly, you know, it's about like a great story told. Like Detroit is a great city, and the story of it is amazing. And, you know, there's plenty of other places in the world that are quote unquote cheap or have, you know, resources or whatever it is you want to call it. But Detroit is something special and I'm really focused on here. And when I think about this city, it's about, you know, creating that next big employer. And it doesn't have to be a single company. Like you said, it can be an enterprise. I mean, Dan did it with an enterprise. And so I think I'm really focused on the long-term vision. Every decision I make is with a 10 or 30 year you know, play or even 50 year on Detroit. You know, it's funny, like I've been renting a house for several years and I actually just, you know, went ahead and bought that house that I've been renting. And I think about it now and I'm just like, you know, one day I'm going to like raise kids in this house. Like I'm here to stay and like, I love the city and I think right now it's about the Detroit story and telling that story around the world, and not just building up a story to be told here within Southeast Michigan. So.
Yeah, totally. And with that, I really do want to thank you so much for coming on.
No worries,
this
bro.
Has been really fun.
It was great. It was super fun.
All right, everyone. That was Hunter Rosenblum with Lunar Wireless. It was really cool getting to chat with him, and it was even cooler knowing that he's such an ambassador of the city. I was just telling him in the episode how I had brought run into a friend that was from the UK and found out that he was coming to Detroit and wanted to show him everything. And you know, he was like, wow, this is really cool. Like, this is nothing like people have been saying. And I was like, yeah, right? I mean, I grew up in the area and didn't really venture downtown much, but a lot is happening downtown. A lot is happening midtown. A lot is happening in the neighborhoods. We are starting to become, you know, we are at the calm before the storm moment before, you know, a lot of cool stuff happens, and we have a chance. We have the best chance now than ever out of the majority of major cities in the United States to do this and grow this in an inclusive fashion, in an equitable fashion. And that's why I'm really excited that we have people like Hunter, who brings all of his different experiences and not just, you know, patronizes the startups that are the tech startups and you know, the potential, right, Ubers and Airbnbs and Thumbtacks and et cetera, but really the people who are here in the city, the ones who aren't in the, you know, downtown, midtown sort of startup ecosystem, but the ones who are kind of more spread out and have been doing things on their own, because those are the people. If those are the people that are scrappy and able to, you know, make something sustainable for themselves, they're the ones that you want to fund. They're the ones that you can put your dollars behind, and that's really exciting. All right, you can check Lunar out on their website at www.lunarwireless.com, and you can find Hunter on Instagram, as he mentioned, at Hunting Wabbits. That's all, folks, and thank you for listening to the Impact Michigan podcast. Talk to you next time.